You are listening to Into Your Head, all the way from Ireland.
Show number 67, 67th episode of Into Your Head, and of course by episode I don't mean to scare you off using that word if you're new to the show. Episode implies that it's like Doctor Who, and you have to have seen the first episode in the series before you can understand the remaining 66. That's not the case at all. You won't feel left out at all if you just start here, unless you start in the middle of this sentence, in which case, cat, monkey, turnip. That will make absolutely no sense to you whatsoever, and you'll be wondering, what was he talking about earlier on in this sentence before I started listening, and why did I start in the middle of a sentence anyway? Well, I don't know. That's an excellent question. Now, we've a lot to get through today, so I'll just get on with it and skip all these formalities that I seem to have got myself stuck into. I've had some listener input this morning. I got some listener input. Think of it as a sort of a focus group for Into Your Head. I wanted to gather some user-created topic suggestions, so, and that's what I did. So here it goes. We've got Dadaist wants me to talk about the topic of severed feet. Who cares? Well, that's interesting, Dadaist. Severed feet, I presume that's a mountain range over in Scotland. It's a range of mountains that in the shape of several severed feet. Now, I don't know why you'd have to call them severed feet. A foot is a foot. If it's been severed, it still looks like a foot. Does a severed foot look different from a normal foot? Oh, I suppose it looks different in that there's a leg attached to it. But if you're just having a mountain in the shape of the foot, it doesn't matter whether it's being severed or not. I mean, you could have an attached foot and call that an attached foot because it looks like an attached foot because it's being attached and you can see the ankle and the leg. But then you just call it a leg. You wouldn't call it a foot. You'd call it a leg, or else call it a foot plus a shin plus a knee, but that'd be rather complicated. There's a group name for those three body parts, and it's the leg. Now, some people don't include the part above the knee when they're talking about the leg. Some people say the part above the knee is the thigh, but I don't agree with that whatsoever. When you go cutting the legs off a chicken, and someone asks for a piece of thigh, you don't go around saying, well, there's the leg, I wonder where the thigh is. You fucking well do not. You just chop off the whole leg, you pull it out, and you hand it to them on a plate. And if they look like they're hungry, you give them a bit of breast as well, if there's any left. But you give them the crappy bit, because they've specifically asked for the leg. And the people who specifically ask for a couple of slices of breast, you save the best bits of breast for them, because they're not getting any leg to go with it. So they have to make the best out of this breast selection. There are a lot of political matters involved when you're chopping up a chicken. Well, for one thing, you have to make sure it's dead. Usually that's quite reliable. The factory will do that, and then they wrap it in vacuum packing. They get a joint vacuum cleaner and suck all the air out of the cellophane so that the chicken can't possibly breathe if it's alive. So if it's alive, it's eventually going to die of lack of oxygen. Unless it's being in one of those modern... That's the worry, you see, with these modern chicken breeding farms where they're like factories and the chickens are all stuck in little cages, and you don't know what they're feeding them there. I don't think they even breed oxygen there. I think they pump in a special type of gas for breeding that makes them grow more quickly. So if a chicken is being reared on that gas instead of oxygen, then it's not going to be too worried when you seal it up in a vacuum pack. It's going to think, oh, there's no oxygen, that doesn't matter, I've survived without oxygen all my life, I've breathed in the strange artificial gases that made me grow so well, and I'm well used to it, so I'm not going to have any problem living in a vacuum pack for a couple of days until someone buys me. So you have to make, that's why the experts always say, make damn sure you cook a chicken correctly. Don't undercook it, overcook it if anything, burn it to a cinder. That's the only way to be completely safe. I guess get a lighter, and or a match, Or even better, get a lighter and get a match and set the lighter on fire. Make sure it's got a make sure the gas chamber of the lighter is well intact. Until at least you have time to step back away from it, because that's going to cause an explosion. But as you all know from the Die Hard movies, every time there's an explosion, fire is created and it spreads all over the place. If something explodes, usually a fire ensues. Things go on fire. For example, if I was to drop a bomb on a forest right now from a helicopter, there's an 80% chance, at least, you can be pretty sure that it's going to start a fire. Or at least it's going to be a few bits of flames and things. And if it's in a forest, then it's full of wood, so it's going to spread like wildfire. It's going to spread like forest fire, because it is a forest. I didn't say it was a forest at the beginning. I think I said it was a wood. But a wood is pretty much the same thing as a forest. It's just not as official. A wood can be a little cluster of trees that are stuck in the middle of a housing estate. A forest is a more official, formal wood thing. A wood is a whole section of the earth that's covered in wood, and it's the trees are its main inhabitants. It's like if all of the planet of Mars was covered in water, you'd say that's a water planet. If it was covered in trees, you'd say it's a forest planet, and you can be damn sure that that's a forest, especially if it's covering a whole planet, because if you get lost in that, you're fucked. You can keep going, you can do all your little survival techniques of walking in a straight line and saying, if I walk in a straight line for long enough, I'm going to get out of this forest. Well, not if it's a whole spherical planet and it's covered in forest. That's not going to work for you. So you're going to be right royally fucked then. So I hope that you feel that goes some way to addressing your question. But to be more specific, your question was severed feet. Who cares? Well, I'm not going to be able to give an exact answer to that. I don't have a list of names of people who care. But I assume if you go on the internet and you do a little search, you'll come up with several people who care about people with severed limbs in general. I wouldn't say there's a particular organisation. It's just for people with severed feet, or should I say people without severed feet, because it's quite a niche thing, and there's no point in just dealing in niche things like that. If you've got severed feet, you should share your resources and information with people who have other severed limbs, and that's how you advance in this world. You pool together. If you've had your little toe cut off, and you know someone else who's had their third toe from the left cut off, you don't go around saying, oh, he's got a completely different problem than me. There's no point in us getting together and forming a group. There's no benefits to be had from it whatsoever. If you went around doing things like that, nobody would ever form a country. We'd all each have our own independent, separate country. And we'd have to set up embassies everywhere. I'd have to have sent up an embassy in my next door neighbour's back garden just so I could talk to him. Although that's in this case, that wouldn't make any difference because his country has banned noisy dogs from all surrounding countries, so that would be a problem. But usually diplomacy works a little better than that. People make an effort and talk to each other, and that's why we'd have to. That would make absolutely no difference whatsoever. I'm contradicting myself there. I started off by saying, I'm trying to argue that it would be ridiculous if we were each our own individual separate country, but then I started this crap saying that most people are quite good at diplomacy and implying that would work. It wouldn't work. You'd have to have at least 200 people in each country. Each housing estate could be a separate country, and let's hope that nothing serious comes up at town council meetings, or otherwise there's going to be World War IV, and then World War III will go down in history as being the war that never happened, because people have decided. Technology has advanced so far that if we had another World War now, people would say technology has advanced so far from World War II that we should really call it World War IV, not World War III, because we'll cause confusion in the history books. The students in 100 years' time will go back looking at books and they'll say, right, in World War I they had guns and bombs, in World War II they had fancy planes and helicopters and electronic monkeys, and then in World War III suddenly they had joint also made it planets firing themselves at each other. Now, how did it go from that between World War II and World War III? Was there a space of 8,000 years? Well, in fact, there wasn't. But if we call the World War III World War IV instead, then they'll know. They'll expect technology to have advanced by two wars worth. And the only thing there will be we'll have to make up a World War III that never happened, just to get our story straight. Because if we're going to lie to our children and our children's children about world wars, then we have to get our story straight. You know what happened during World War II when someone decided to pretend that... pretend that the Holocaust never happened. That caused all sorts of controversy. So if you're going to make up lies about a world war or a fictional world war, you better get your story straight. Get Steven Spielberg onto it. He's good at that sort of thing. Although he seems to base his movies on real life. Well, except E.T. E.T. wasn't based on real life. Elliot never met an alien. And, well, he might have, but he wasn't, nobody was filming him at the time. This was a fake filming incident. It was a fake documentary about Elliot. Elliot was never filmed meeting E.T., and he certainly, when E.T. was ill in the hospital and Elliot went to see him and started crying and all that, there certainly wouldn't have been cameras allowed into that. I mean, Elliot wasn't even allowed in himself. He had a big tent or something set up around his house, and all these men in green uniforms came out saying, "Oh, you can't come in, we're dealing with some sort of an alien thing that's sick, and you're just a little child, you can't come in." And he didn't go. You don't think that Eddie went, "Oh, that's fine, can I send in my cameraman instead? I've got 8 widescreen cameramen and some sound equipment, because we think Dolby Digital is going to come along in a year or two, so we want to do this properly, and I'll just send Steven Spielberg in as well, but I don't mind staying outside, that's fine. I know you're busy. So just let us film this and it'll be all fine." No, that didn't happen. Don't be fucking ridiculous.
I'm here with my wife, Joanne, who just has a particularly strong mug of coffee. She doesn't drink coffee very much, so that has quite an effect on her. Now, Joanne, what do you think of cats?
I like cats. Cats are great. They're cool. They're my babies. Thank you, kitty cat. But now, the little one, the new one, you have to shout at him, or he won't do anything for you. The little better. But he's cute all the same. Prince Jilly. Jelly Belly. Yeah, that's pretty much. I don't like cats who run away on you, pretend to be your best little boy for over a year and a half and then run away. Yeah, I don't like that.
Have you ever considered expressing any of your thoughts about cats in a song?
Yes, I have. You know well that I have. I often express my thoughts in song. I'm just not going to right now because you just kept hinting at it.
That's fine, I'll just play the one you recorded a few minutes ago.
That's fine. Trick artist. My new little cat, whose name is Chili, he's not very fat just yet. He's all white with lots of bits of black, but he's very hard to keep clean. Being white, he's hard to keep himself clean. It takes a lot of effort and I'm probably being mean, but he's a white cat, so he's hard to keep clean. Anyway, Chili went out the other day. He came back in and I'm afraid he might be gay. He likes a little cat who happens to be a boy. So maybe he's gay, but I'm fine with that. He came back in the other day, this is another different day, and he had a little black spot on his head. Now he does have spots, and they are very black, but this one was more of a browny grey colour, so I thought, has he grown a new spot, or is he just dirty? Probably a bit of both, I think. But actually, no, it's starting to fade away. So now I know it's just that he's a dirty little gay. Yay! But not that I mind that. That's perfectly fine by me. Okay, I love you, Chili.
So now let's get all this straight. There wasn't a camera crew at that house when Elliot went to see the sick E.T. and wasn't allowed in. Nonsense. The issue we were talking about, severed feet, who cares? I can't say precisely who cares. But if you go on the internet and do a search, you will find several organisations who cares. And if you want to count up the exact number of people who care and get all their names, then you're going to have to email each of those organisations and ask for a list of their members. And I'm not going to do that for you. But I've directed you to the proper information. I used to work in a library, and that's what we used to do. We didn't give people the exact information. We'd show them where to get it, direct them tell them what information resources were available to them, and usually they were very grateful. They'd say, "Oh, I didn't know that resource was available." You'd usually find them wandering around the bookshelves, all lost, going, "Where am I? I need a book about yellow cats, but I can't seem to find one." And I'd show them the computer and say, "If you go into this thing and type in yellow cats, you'll find that we've got an online database all about yellow cats, and you can go for have a look for what you want in that." And they used to go away tremendously happy. We used to call it the Library and Information Resource Center, because it was more than a library. It was an information resource center and a library, and it was absolutely fucking fantastic. I loved it there. It was one of the finest institutions ever in the country. Ever created. Unfortunately, it was a bit of a private institution, because it was only available to staff of that institution of which it was a part. It was a private library. There was a sign on the door saying, it said library. It didn't say private, because the issue didn't arose. It was in a private part of the building, so there was no chance of a member of the public coming along and saying, "Oh, is that the library? I think I'll go in and get a copy of The Cat in the Hat for my son." Even if he had, he'd have gone in. He'd probably have looked in the cat section, but it was a veterinary and agriculture library, so he would have only found the closest he would have got would have been some sort of research publication about cats that peed into hats in order to test where their urine goes, whether it's absorbed into the hat, and how much it smells after three days on different types of hats made out of different materials. She wouldn't have found a copy of The Cat in the Hat in there at all, unless one of the staff members had happened to have their child's school bag with them, and they had a copy of The Cat in the Hat with it to keep them entertained because they brought their children to work. But that rarely happens. In any case, The Cat in the Hat isn't the only cat book available to children. You shouldn't just... If you got a child and you wanted to learn about cats through literature, don't just give her a copy of The Cat in the Hat. That's lazy. Give her a bit of variety. Find other cat-related material, such as, for example, Puss in Boots. There's plenty of other cats and things. There's Garfield, although that's probably a bit adult. That's not really for children. And there's, of course, there's the Cuthbert, the evil director of human resources in the Dilbert comic strips. But that's a bit officey. That's not for children either. But I'm sure if you go along to your local public library and ask them for cat-related children's literature, you'll find there's a wealth of stuff available. You don't have to go with Dr. Seuss all the time. Not that I have anything against Dr. Seuss. Although I did say in the vintage episode of Into Your Head, I did spend about 10 minutes saying how I thought Dr. Seuss was a chancer. But I can't remember what my argument was, so for the moment, until I remember that, I'm just going to have to assume that he was a perfect, decent gentleman who contributed a wealth of material to this world. It's just that there are others in the cat literature world other than Dr. Seuss, so don't put all your kittens in one basket. Last phrase I just said at the end of that segment, don't put all your kittens in one basket. I've had to draw my own attention to my own words just now, because I was about to put in another cat song into this show. Earlier this morning, my wife and I recorded a couple of cat songs, and they're both excellent, and I intended to use them for future shows. But I almost used them all up in this show. I almost put all my cats in one basket, but then I held back. I said, listen to your own words, Neil. You don't put all your cat songs into one show. Save the other one. Save the one about Chili's penis that you did, that the collab collaboration that you did. Save that for the next show, because it's really one of the best ever. Myself and Joanne were sitting on the bed earlier, getting ready to get up, and I took out my phone, and we did a little cat song collaboration about Chili the Cat's penis, and it was absolutely fantastic. But you're not going to hear it on this show, because I mark my own words. I pay attention to what I say, and I do not put all of my cats into one basket. I don't put all my eggs in one basket either, and when the eggs hatch and cats come out of them, then I do put all my eggs in one basket then, because I go off to whoever's going to pay me the most money for my story about the eggs that hatched into cats, because eggs aren't supposed to hatch into cats. Eggs are supposed to hatch into chickens. They're supposed to explode one day, and a chicken is supposed to pop out, and then that's how you know it's undercooked. You have to start all over again as well, because the chicken itself is barely cooked at all, and it's not very meaty, so you have to wait a couple of months for it to grow into a proper chicken, and then either cook the chicken, then cook it properly, and remind the chicken how lucky it is. You were about to boil it as an egg or turn it into an omelette, and then it decided to hatch, so it got an extra couple of months of life that it didn't know it was going to get. But now you're going to boil it or turn it into a lovely chicken chili or chicken curry or something, or else you could be really nice and just say, if you produce enough eggs every day, I'll let you live for a while. Well, at least until you stop producing eggs, then I'm going to eat you. And you better be tasty. You better eat some of your own eggs if they're any good, because they'll make you taste tasty. And it'll also cause a rather confusing thought in my mind about what kind of are you a cannibal, or are you a meat eater, or what are you if you have a chicken and you feed its own eggs to the chicken to make it better to eat, and then you eat the chicken. What are you? I don't know. You're probably some sort of an enigma wrapped in mystery, wrapped in a paradox, which itself is a paradox. I don't know if you know that. A paradox is a thing that's I forget what it is, actually. I better look up the definition. I had a period as a teenager when I was obsessed with paradoxes, because there was a program I used to listen to on the radio that used to go on and on about them. So let's look up paradox. Paradox. We'll go into Wikipedia, even though I don't trust it. There's probably some guy went in earlier this morning and decided that I don't like the use of the word paradox. I'm going to change its meaning completely. But here we go. A paradox can be an apparently true statement or group of statements that leads to a contradiction or a situation which defies intuition. Now, what I want is an example. Where's an example of paradoxes? I don't see one. Hold on a minute. I'll search the page for the word example. For example, consider a situation in which a father and son are driving down the road. The car collides with a tree and the father is killed. The boy is rushed to the nearest hospital where he's prepared for surgery. On entering the surgery suite, the surgeon says, "I can't operate on this boy, he's my son." Now, this apparent paradox is caused by the bandwagon fallacy. The reader, upon seeing the word surgeon, applies a poll of their knowledge of surgeons, regardless of his death, and reasons that since the majority of surgeons are male, the surgeon is a male, hence the contradictions. The father of the child, the man, was killed in the crash. Now, I don't know what any of that means. It's all gobbledygook as far as I'm concerned. And this is what happens if you create a user-editable encyclopedia like Wikipedia. Some guy comes along and just types in. And in fact, I'm going to edit this right now. Hold on a minute. I'm going to edit a section called Logical Paradox. I'm not going to harm the material now, but I'm going to add in a little paragraph. It'll say, cats are cool. No, I won't. I won't say that. I'll say this article is discussed in quite some detail on show number 67 of Into Your Head. On show number 67, which you can hear at intoyourhead.com. Okay. Hopefully, somebody will be able to explain in more detail about the cats laying eggs. Maybe push it in here. Sorry if I've done this wrong. I'm new here. K peeps, thanks dudes. Wikipedia rules. Okay. There you go. I've made a contribution now. I'm very proud of that. Hopefully that it's a group effort, so someone will come along and improve on my effort later. They'll change around the bits. They might delete the whole thing and replace it with something else. But I'll have been a part of it. I'll be a part of the creation of the improvement of the world's knowledge of the concept of paradox. So I'm very proud of that. I think that's a job well done. That's a day's work achieved.
If you would like to comment on any of the issues raised in today's program, visit the Stalkers Forum guestbook
and online voicemail system
at our website, intoyourhead.com, or email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener.